The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. You've got the H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on those dirt trails and kick up some mud. Or the third row seating gets your whole family in to experience the thrill together. The dual wireless charging pads make sure that no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead cell phone. Think about those adventurous activities you can do, like me, taking a ski trip up with the family, maybe going on a camping expedition, anything and everything. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Are you looking for a new basketball shoe? If so, this is Gary Parrish here to tell you that the New Balance 2-Way V4 features the groundbreaking use of fuel cell technology with fresh foam, creating the ultimate combination of rebound and cushioning. Every step feels explosive and dynamic, and the upper construction features a lightweight textile that's supportive and breathable. So whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the 2-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the 2-Way at newbalance.com. Hey there. It's Gary Parrish. Welcome back to the CBS Sports Eye on College Basketball podcast, where we sometimes discuss camel fighting, dodo birds, and leaky black. The Eye on College Basketball podcast presented by Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Matt Norlander is here with me. He's in Houston in his hotel room. I'm in Houston in my hotel room. If you're watching on YouTube, smash the like button like you're Brandon Davies. You have consent. If you haven't yet, subscribe to the CBS Sports College Basketball YouTube channel. Also do that while you're here. Okay, let's get into it. We are now just 2 days away from games tipping off at the 2023 Final Four. San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, Saturday, 6:09 p.m. Eastern. UConn, Miami, Saturday, 7:49 p.m. It looks more like 8:49 p.m. Eastern. Both games are going to be on CBS. That's America's most watched network. It's the network of stars. Like we noted on Tuesday's podcast, UConn is now the favorite over the rest of the field to win the national championship. The Huskies are minus 125 to win this tournament, followed by San Diego State at plus 390, Miami at plus 440, Florida Atlantic at plus 550. This seems unusual for a team to enter the Final Four as a favorite over the field. Not unprecedented, but rarer than the opposite. So let's start with this question. If UConn doesn't win this national championship, what will be the reason why?
Good big picture question to start with the top of this, GP, because if it doesn't, it would register as a surprise. Not that it's a lock. It's not a lock. The reasons why, I think one of the biggest, and we have to kind of look ahead to this Miami matchup, right? Jordan Hawkins having a bad game, I think, would be a major reason why. I said on HQ, actually, this is a tape segment that's going to run overnight on HQ. I was asked, you know, what needs to happen for each team just to get to Monday night, not to win the title, but each of the four. And my pick for UConn was Jordan Hawkins needs to shoot better than 40% and probably drop more than 15 points in this game, particularly when you consider what Miami's capable of doing. If he doesn't play well, I can see Andre Jackson having a bad game. Tristan Newton is a good player, but they don't look to him to be a go-to scorer. Sanogo is going to get a very tough matchup with Norchad Omier. We'll see. And so they could really use, like, maybe we have a situation where Joey Calcaterra comes off the bench, hits 3 3-pointers in the first half, and he becomes, you know, he becomes the first half star that kind of propels UConn to get past Miami. That's certainly possible. Naheem Aline is a good 3-point shooter as well, but Hawkins is their volume shooter. He's taken by far the most 3-pointers. He doesn't need to only take 3-pointers, but with what he provides for that offense, if he comes up dry, I think that would be a major reason that would prevent them from winning. What about you?
I just think they might not win the national championship because they might not win the national championship because they're vulnerable. You know, they are the favorite. They are my pick. They are a 4 seed. Like, the idea that this is 2000 15 Kentucky. And by the way, I know that's not the perfect example because they ultimately lost in the Final Four. Yeah. But like that team was like, I don't see how they're going to lose. Right. That's what everybody said. And there was a lot of data to back that up. That was clearly the best team in the country, even after it was all settled. That was clearly the best team in the country, according to KenPom. UConn is the best team in the country, according to KenPom, but UConn has lost 8 times already this season. I saw a quote, I think it was in Seth Davis's, he does this piece for The Athletic, where he talks to head coaches and assistant coaches who have played these Final Four teams. And he asked them, hey, you know, it's a lot like our candid coaches in the sense that, hey, just break this team down for me. What do you like? What do you not like? You've studied them. You've scouted them. You've played them. And then he sort of puts a consensus scouting report together. And it's well done and interesting. I read it every time. But there was a quote about UConn from a coach. And it said, I just don't see how anybody can beat them. And I'm like, in a 40-minute basketball game? Like, that's the thing. It feels like people have already decided UConn is your national champion. And if they don't win this, it's crazy. And I just don't think it's crazy to ever think that a 4 seed could slip up and take a loss in what amounts to a hypothetical 2-game stretch. I'm a believer in UConn. But I guess what I'm saying is I don't believe as strongly as some people seem to believe, because at least that one coach was like, I don't think anybody can beat them. And I'm like, well, somebody beat them 8 times this year. They're beatable. They're great, but they're beatable. I will say this. If you go back and look at that 8-game stretch where they went 2-6, the glaring difference between their season statistics and what the statistics were in that 8-game stretch is on the defensive end of the court. UConn in that 8-game stretch was 75th in adjusted defensive efficiency in the country, according to BartTorvik.com. And so they were also worse, obviously, on the offensive end of the court. But in that stretch, they were dramatically worse on the defensive end of the court than they were on the offensive end of the court. And so now they're playing one of the best offensive teams in the country that could maybe cause problems for that defense. I think UConn wins the game, but I don't think it's crazy to think Miami could get them or whoever wins San Diego State, Florida Atlantic could get them. And I feel like I'm a little bit by myself on that one.
I don't know if you're by yourself. I also, to your point that they're a 4 seed, yes. Also the number one team at KenPom. And you know this, because I heard you say it on HQ. What their adjusted efficiency margin in the context of this season is better than Kansas last season. Is that right?
That's right.
Right now?
Yeah. Right
okay.
Now, their adjusted efficiency margin is better than the one that Kansas finished with last season after winning the national title, which says something to me.
It does. And so even though UConn is got a 4 next to its name, that's a function more of you know, the losses it took. The losses need to matter. And UConn as a 3 made more sense to me heading in, but I wasn't surprised by the 4, and now we see what it's done. And by nature of it, just steamrolling folks by 90 total points, it has scooted right up the efficiency margin, and that's why it sits where it sits. I will note that all 4 Final Four teams do sit top 22 at KenPom. They're top 30 in basically every predictive metric that's out there. FAU is not last, by the way. That is Miami. Miami is has been on an interesting journey here from a metric standpoint, but it is 4th, and it is 4th with a little bit of space between them and FAU. FAU is actually closer to SDSU than it is Miami overall in efficiency margin at this point. UConn's gettable. Miami is going to go... Miami, I think Miami is going to go pretty small on Saturday. You know, Norchad Omier is the big that everyone knows. He's 6'7". He's a house, man. He's super strong, immovable, defends well, rebounds well, is a great big for them. But he won't be on the floor for 40 minutes, and this is where it gets interesting from a strategic standpoint. UConn will probably... almost certainly, and I say this because I was able to flag down Dan Hurley real quick this afternoon outside the locker room and talk to him for a little bit, because I'll have something on UConn on .com at some point on Friday afternoon. I think they are anticipating they will have either Sanogo or Klingon on the floor for pretty much the entire game. Why wouldn't you on the offensive end? There's a certain benefit to that. Defensively, yes, you've got reasons to have exposure. Klingon's bad in ball screen defense, but everything else, UConn's numbers defensively are great when he's out there. If you look at the per possession stuff, I think Miami will try and go small. They can even put Jordan Miller, who stands the same height as Omir. So let's say they go Wong, Pack, Poplar, Joseph Miller as the small ball five. I could see that happening for stretches there if they think that that is going to allow them, the one they want to run with UConn, they want to be able to run their offense through that with the ball screen stuff and then just catch either Sanogo and Klingon in some screen action to get their guys some looks. It's worth a chance. Now, you're going to give up second chance opportunities if you do that, but if they go small and it works, it wouldn't stun me. Miami has also been on a tear from a shooting perspective. It's a good three-point shooting team for the most part, 36.9%. It is actually the best, narrowly, it is the best three-point shooting team that's left in the Final Four, but the margins, there's essentially no real difference between FAU, UConn, and Miami's three-point capacity. UConn overall, from a points per possession standpoint, is better. But if Miami gets hot, remember, Miami, I think the one thing that we should go back to with the Canes, GP, is that Miami did this by beating Texas 88-81, okay? And when it did that, it did it in a way that was a bit surprising. Not just Miller's amazing game, but they only ran six out on the floor. Joseph was the sixth guy, Bensley Joseph off the bench. But they only hit 2 3-point shots and only attempted 8 of them. They were so good from the foul line, 28-32. Miami getting to the line, I think, will be key as well. UConn's got a really good chance at winning this. I think it's got a solid chance at covering it. But Miami has proven multiple times, not in the tournament, I'm talking season-long stuff, where it has performed well against really good teams. And I think it will be ready. My last close on this is that if you tell me UConn again knocks out a team by double digits, it will not stun me, but I am with you that the game is maybe a little bit more up for grabs than people are suggesting.
Yeah, I just think the tournament is a little more up for grabs than folks are seem to be suggesting. As I said earlier in the week, I genuinely believe that all four of these teams are capable of winning the national championship. And I don't always believe that when we get to a Final Four. In fact, I think probably most times by the time we get to a Final Four, I say, yeah, I can see that team and that team winning it, that team or that team. But I don't think they can win two more games. I think any of these teams can win two more games. And that's why I feel like this is a little more up for grabs than maybe the betting markets suggest and the way it seems most analysts and fans tend to think. Okay, we both have UConn winning the game. I don't want to speak for you, but I think we both have UConn winning the game. Yeah. UConn minus 5.5 is the number. You laying that, or you taking Miami plus the points?
First of all. Are we about to do some picks?
Oh yeah, I need to be updated on these records. Did I surmount? Where are we at on this?
No.
Sir, you've been mounted, and you've been mounted pretty badly, I would say.
Oh God, story of my life.
Yeah. So it's over, right? It's over for GP. It's over.
Yeah, you can't catch him. You can't catch him.
Well, maybe we need to pick some women's games.
No. Let's stop.
You can't catch them.
Grasping for straws is what you're doing.
I'll take Caitlin Clark plus the points.
Yeah, of course you will. Yeah, me too. How about that?
Maybe we should pick some NBA games.
Yeah, like checking out that slate on the slate, checking out that Thursday night, Friday night slate.
Maybe we should pick Friday baseball games. Today's opening day. We got a schedule.
Cubs won, by the way. I have no idea what the Mets did.
Well, first off, Justin Verlander had to go on the injured list.
Okay.
I mean, are you kidding me?
By the way, we're going to pick the game. Baseball starting on the Thursday before the Final Four. I don't think that's ever happened. 2, your Verlander stuff. 3, Cubbies. Want to know. And 4, we got the Final Four here in Houston. I understand why this happened, but I was like, there's no way they're having the Astros play a home game. Like right when they are, but they won the World Series. And so you get the home game to start, but you would think that normally you wouldn't, because it's where the park is located in downtown, it's right around everything. The city's got the capacity to handle it. But I thought that Houston would start away from home. But no. Home game tonight. The first pitch as we go here. I think it's about to happen.
I think I'm going to go to the game tomorrow night.
Okay.
I want to go to the game. I want to go see the Astros.
All right.
And I've never been to that ballpark. So it'd be another check one off the list type of thing. Maybe we should pick that game. Astros White Sox tomorrow night. Put it in the final 4-1.
Maybe you should be like, I want to go to the game. Maybe you should go with me. But no, okay. Maybe we won't pick the game because you're like, I'm going to go to the game.
Oh, I just assumed nobody wanted to go with me. I would love if you went with me. I never ask people to do things because I assume nobody wants to do anything with me. I have this weird.
You go to a baseball game by yourself. Final Four is happening. Everyone in the industry is here, and you're just going to go stroll up to the old will call window. One for Parrish, please. Yeah,
That's exactly what my working plan is to go. I go to baseball games by myself all the time. When I'm in New York working in the summer and my family's not up, I go to baseball games by myself. I go to Citi Field by myself all the time.
You know what? F it. Let's do it. The Friday Astros. Who are they playing? The White Sox? Who are they playing?
Yeah, White Sox.
You know what? I actually, no joke, I think our editor, Marcus Nelson, who is here, I think he wants to go to the game.
Okay, let's all go.
I'll get in there.
I'm dead serious.
Before we get to the final four games,
okay,
let's go on this baseball. Who are they playing? Isn't every baseball line like 1.5? Isn't there a whole deal with this?
No, you do money lines in baseball. Game one, yeah. White Sox Astros, 7:10 p.m. Central. Friday night, Minute Maid Park, Houston minus 165.
Who are the pitchers?
It doesn't say.
Come on. We don't know. We don't know the pitchers.
Okay, now it says. It says Lance Lynn is going for the White Sox. Obviously. And Christian Javier for the Astros.
Javi, huh? How about this? I'll do you one solid. You pick it first, and I'll take the other team no matter what.
I'm laying my one and 65 on the reigning World Series champions.
Okay, you get the Stros. I'm a Cubs fan, not a Sox fan whatsoever, but I will go with the White Sox in that one.
Okay.
Nada, you got to get this on the graphic.
it'll be wow. San Diego State, Florida Atlantic. Just make the graphic just so people go, what are they doing? San Diego State, Florida Atlantic, UConn, Miami, Astros, White Sox.
Yes. Yes. I love it.
I'm taking Miami plus the 5.5.
I'm also going to take Miami plus the 5.5. Just detailed the game for you. Big reason why. I think Isaiah Wong is going to play well. I think Nigel Pack will shoot well. And I think the Hurricanes and Huskies give us a tremendous nightcap. I've got UConn to win, Miami to cover, and I'll give you, how about this? I give you 82-78 Huskies beat the Canes.
Oh, you need a final score now? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, let's just do it. Why not?
UConn 78, Miami 74.
All right, 4-point win on both sides.
So we both have UConn winning the game. We both have Miami covering. And now we'll move on to the other semifinal. That's San Diego State, Florida Atlantic. We'll talk about that, plus Diamondbacks, Dodgers next. But first, a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
So San Diego State, Florida Atlantic is the first national semifinal scheduled to tip 6:09 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. That line right now, San Diego State -3. Two schools in the Final Four for the first time. Two coaches in the Final Four for the first time. One of the points I made on the CBS Sports HQ the other day is that it's not crazy that this Florida Atlantic team, that this team is in the Final Four, because this team is 35-3. They've been good all season. We talked about them back in December. That said, it is super crazy that this Florida Atlantic program is in the Final Four. This team, sensible. This program, insane. You've done a nice job chronicling the Dusty May Florida Atlantic story. So if you can, one last time before we do this on Saturday, explain to folks just how nutty it is that Florida Atlantic University is in the 2023 Final Four.
It is way, way, way nutty on one hand. How about this? Cinderella story, not a Cinderella team, at least in the context of how this group has pushed its way all the way to a national semifinal. Do people realize that Florida Atlantic and San Diego State are going to play on Saturday night for a spot in the title game? Do people realize this, Gary Parrish? I don't think they realize this.
I think
those two teams are going to step off and play each other in Houston in the national semifinal, because that's how the bracket works.
I heard a funny joke today, but it would be disrespectful for me to share it.
And we are not going to. We don't need to share it. FAU. But
you know what? Like, as the week has progressed, I have gotten fired up about Florida Atlantic, about the idea of Florida Atlantic.
Yes, absolutely. By the way, I did break a little small bit of news as we went live here on the pod. Dusty May shared with me and athletic director Brian White. Dusty May is going to sign a lucrative long-term deal. I think, well, here's the story behind the story. They had drafted up the broad terms of a contract for him weeks ago, and then all of this happened. So they're going to have to change a little, maybe a little more money here, a little more years here. The salary pool for the assistants, that's getting a big jump. NIL opportunities and just how FAU is handling that on the basketball side, that is going to improve as well. Brian White, the AD, informed me that, and I don't know if it might have been publicly revealed at some point in the season. I didn't see it. But he said we had a $7.5 million gift afforded to our basketball program in the middle of the season. So in total, there is more than $15 million that FAU has at its disposal. Most of that is for the men's basketball program. Some of that will be for the former football building/facility that is the multi-sport. Every sport that is not FAU football now uses that for weight room, training room, all sorts of other amenities there. So the big news for FAU, you're not losing your coach. And even if you said, well, there's no other jobs that are open out there, Dusty May did get contacted by a number of search firms about would he be willing to interview this during the season. And he said he told those search firms no. And I can say that now that he's kind of gone on record with this. This dates back to when Ole Miss was open. He said, I'm not going to interview for the job. There were other schools that came open. And he just said, I'm not going to interview this. So, you know, on one level you might expect, well, here's a guy at a small school going to a Final Four. Not to say he's never going to leave. I mean, if Dusty May is this good of a coach, he will eventually leave FAU. I know GP believes that. Like, we're
question,
what are we talking
is Dusty
about?
May the head coach at Florida Atlantic 2 years from today?
I would lean no, but good on him. Long-term deal. And they're going to the American Athletic Conference after this season. And, you know, but hey, he's sticking around for another year. And with that, GP is in the middle of doing his top 25 and one rankings. FAU needs to be some, we'll see what it does here. FAU right now, GP, is, what did I say? It's 17 at KenPom. It has to be, I don't think you can make it worse than 17th going into next season, because
if you're crazy, they will be preseason top 10. Okay, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, and especially
if they win two more games,
they're not losing their coach. If they lost SC May, it's different. They're not losing him. He's returning. He'll sign the new deal once the season's over and they get back on the ground in Florida.
They have to, they're going to have to pay to keep their players. I mean, this is just the way the sport works now. They're paying to pay their coach. This is also interesting because people get all offended about NIL and it's been in the news this week. They're going to pay to keep their coach, and everybody understands why. Nobody even blinks. It's like, of course. Well, you also have to pay to keep your players. And if that bothers you, then you're being weird. And so they need to keep these guys on campus. But I think it's an easy sell. First off, this has worked out perfectly for Florida Atlantic. Basically, every job Dusty May could leave for is closed, right? I mean, there's not a job out there for him now.
Right.
And so, I mean, is there one? Is there a job?
There's not. There's no high power conference job out there for him. I think conceivably one or two might have sat around and waited to see if they could interview him, but no. So in terms of an improved opportunity, there's nothing better now than what he has. But to be clear on this, he told me that his mind was made up on this weeks ago, and frankly, I do believe him.
Yeah, I'll take him at his word as well. But this is, I say this word's worked out perfectly for Florida Atlantic. It's worked out perfectly for Dusty too, because this is going to sound weird, because in theory, you would want to get the big offers, right? You want those. And if nothing else, you leverage them for better deals at where you're at. But then, you know, you might want to cash in now and go get that big power conference, 6-year, you know, $20 million contract or whatever. But now that job's not going to be put on the table with him. So he's not going to be tempted to leave. He's not even going to have to think about it, right? He's just going to enjoy this Final Four and then hopefully bring back his team. As we've noted, basically every rotation player except one can come back. All five starters can come back. They all have eligibility. So you bring back the team, and now you get to enjoy the Final Four, and then you get to start on everybody's radar next season, preseason top 10 team. And then as long as you keep that on the rails, which will be more difficult in the American than it would be in the CSA. I think, I don't know. Will it be?
I mean, maybe.
We'll see. Like, CSA, I mean,
we're recording this right before the bonus CSA title game in the NIT that's doubling as the NIT final between North Texas and UAB. So we'll see on that.
Right. So, but listen, how about this? Florida Atlantic at this point, going to be the preseason favorite in the American Athletic Conference.
The American, by the way, yeah. Basically it's CUSA all over again. What are we?
Yeah, these teams are going to the American, and I think Florida Atlantic would be the preseason favorite in the American. So the point is, I remember, as everybody does, Billy Donovan won back-to-back national championships and then formally accepted the Orlando Magic job. And then a few days later withdrew and came back to Florida. And at some point deeper into that summer, I remember talking to Billy about it, and one of the things he said was, the weird thing about this profession sometimes is you work hard. I mean, real sweat and tears and long hours to build something to a place, to get it to a certain place. And then you get it there and you put all this work in, and then you go, because now it's time to take a different job, a bigger job. And you're right back to building something again, and you don't even get to enjoy the thing that you built. And one of the reasons he decided to come back to Florida, and there was a long list, but on the list of things was, man, I just won back-to-back titles, and what, I'm going to leave and go try to rebuild the Orlando Magic? Or I can enjoy this. I can be here and like soak in it. And Dusty's going to be able to soak in this at Florida Atlantic. He's not going to be the mid-major coach who goes to the Final Four and then takes another job, because all these jobs are filled. So he's going to be able to enjoy this. So when I say this has worked out well, what I mean is he's not going to be tempted by a bigger job and a lot more money to leave this right now. He's going to get to have a post-Final Four year at Florida Atlantic, and that's awesome for all parties involved. As it pertains to the long-term contract, like, my advice to him, keep the buyout manageable, because keep the buyout manageable. Don't put yourself in a position like, he, first off, he doesn't need my advice, but keep the buyout at a place.
By the way, he is a dedicated podcast. I don't think he's squeezing in the pot in now because he's kind of got other stuff. Yeah. But Dusty is. This goes back to, I don't have it ready. I was kind of for Monday's show. I will Sundays. Remember, we talked about this earlier when I did the feature on him in January because you called out Fuller Atlantic as a trash program on CBS Sports Network, and he listens to the pod. So
by the way,
Dusty May his advice right here on the podcast. He'll listen to it eventually, I'm sure.
Hey, by the way, as you noted, he called Florida Atlantic a trash program. He almost backed out of the job.
That's not true.
All right. So Dusty and I probably have similar opinions.
That's so true.
But just keep the buyout manageable so that, you know, if the big job is over, let's say Florida Atlantic wins the AAC next year, but then loses in the round of 32, because that's a normal thing. And then the big job is there. Don't ever have a number in your contract that will make a power conference school go, I don't know if we can do this. Remember, like, UCLA ran into that with Rick Barnes a few years ago. Like, they were trying to hire Rick, and this was the wildest thing. He actually said, like, if they would have paid my buyout, I would have left. But they wouldn't. They balked at the buyout, and then it was just all right, well, then we'll go hire the guy who will be our greatest coach in school history. His name, of course, is Mick Cronin. So, congrats to Dusty. Congrats to Florida Atlantic. Whatever happens this weekend is going to happen this weekend. But boy, the future, this isn't one of those deals where it's just going to fall apart. I don't think
it shouldn't.
It shouldn't. They should be back in a position to compete for something like this again next season, which is
unbelievable. If that happens, is, I mean, yeah, just with we'll see
my my favorite thing. There's a whole lot of favorite things about Florida Atlantic. You've written nice article columns about them. Dan Wolkin had a really nice one in USA Today earlier today. The my favorite thing that I've read, not a story, just a fact. Jared Burson, who of course gave birth to ESPN Stats and Info, it's his baby. Yeah. He tweeted the other day, you might have seen this, that we have three first-time Final Four participants this season. And that, of course, is Miami, San Diego State, and Florida Atlantic. And they are the schools that are 96th, 97th, 98th in terms of list of schools all time that have competed in a Final Four. There are 98 schools in men's basketball who have ever played enough, who have ever made a Final Four. Florida Atlantic is the only one of the 98th that's never had a player appear in an NBA game.
How about that?
Every other school that's ever been in the Final Four has a player who's played in the NBA. Florida Atlantic has none and might have none right now. You know?
Yeah, that could wind up being the case there. No surprise. All right, so let's talk this game real quick. FAU, SDSU, there's never been a 9-seed or worse that's won a national semi. Can FAU buck the trend? If it's going to do it, how will it do it? One of the biggest factors here, I think that FAU needs to not be afraid to shoot the three and to hit better than 30%. I did talk to Dusty, obviously, earlier today, so I talked to him about the extension and him going on record, but I also asked him, hey, how big did that stadium look once you got in there? And he said, actually, we were so prepared for it to be like this humongous, humongous building, and it is. Our guys weren't that thrown by it. They actually shot well. They got comfortable. And so, well, once we get to game time and you're playing at San Diego State, which is just a beast, and holding teams to under 18% three-point shooting in this tournament, we'll see. I think three-point shooting is going to be pivotal for FAU in this spot. It averages 36.5%. It's got dudes that make them at a high clip. Nellie Davis, 37%. Elijah Martin, 38%. Brian Greenlee, 41%. Nick Boyd, 38%. Even Mike Forrest, who takes plenty, he's a 34% three-point shooter. And Brandon Weatherspoon off the bench, also a 35% three-point shooter. They have guys that take plenty, make plenty. You're going to need to do that. Now, if that starts to go awry, it's not like it's going to spell doom for FAU, because I actually think this team is built not just to win close. That's another thing with both these teams. They're a combined 19-2 this season in games decided by 5 points or fewer. So they have thrived playing close, playing in overtime. But FAU can play a bunch of different styles. So even if the three-point shot is not falling for FAU, I think it has enough in playmaking when you consider that, like, Davis, Martin, Mike Forrest, Greenlee, Boyd, they're all good distributors as well. They can run the offense through a number of different guys who play kind of that lead guard position. And they've got Vlad Golden, who's, you know, he's a 7'1", 240-pound hoss, man. He'll go up against Mensa, and I think they'll have a decent enough chance to do some decent work around the boards. They're going to need to rely on him. The team doesn't wilt, though, between Golden and Rosado, Giancarlo Rosado. Those are going to be the two guys you rely on for the majority of your boards. But if you're FAU, you're going to need to probably shoot well from three. And if not, don't get into a turnover game. The crazy thing about what FAU was able to do in the Elite Eight was it won the game despite turning the ball over 22 times. You do that against SDSU, I don't care if it keeps games in the 50s. You will not beat San Diego State if you turn this ball over 20 or more times. We'll see if they can keep that in check. As for SDSU's side, obviously they're going to try and induce that as much as they possibly can. SDSU actually is not a great turnover team. It's not terrible. It's just not that great. It's good at making you take bad shots, work the shot clock, frustrate you into some bad opportunities. There is a top five team in defensive efficiency. It's number two in 3-point defense. I mentioned the 17% rate in the tournament on the whole season. The only team that was better from three on the defensive end was the team FAU beat in the Sweet 16. That was Tennessee. So maybe that works to FAU's advantage. We will wait and see on that. I also want to see if Matt Bradley wakes up. Now, SDSU has done something I did not think it was capable of. It has won four games in this tournament, and Matt Bradley has not been a factor. He is their only double-digit scorer, and yet he has largely disappeared over the past three games here, or specifically with what they were not able to do in the second weekend. He had 6 points and just six against Bama, two against Creighton. Against Furman, he had 10, but they didn't really need him. There was a laugher in that game. Do they need Bradley to step up big in this one? I kind of think that needs to be the case, but regardless, Darren Trammell has been a great and really fun playmaker. Lamont Butler stepped up big. They've got enough guys there. They're not quite as deep as FAU, but they do still go plenty deep. Ladie off the bench, Seiko off the bench. If Keshaw Johnson starts, bring Mensa off the bench. He's basically a starter with, you know, Benjamin. It's interchangeable there. And then a rope as well. So it's a fun matchup. It feels very much like a toss-up. I think I said on a reaction show that I thought that this game, even though it wasn't as appealing in a number of ways, I think it's the better chance at being the closer game. And if you just give us dramatics, we're all going to be dialed in and tuned in. So it feels very much like a coin flip. What are your thoughts? And I don't even I know we picked it for the site. I don't even remember the line. I think it's SDSU minus a point and a half. But
it's alternating between 3 and 2.5. You look one place, it's San Diego State minus 3. Another place, it's San Diego State minus 2.5. For our purposes, we'll call it 3. One of the reasons, and you made a point of this, that I believe Florida Atlantic can win this game, and in fact, I believe Florida Atlantic will win this game, is because of who they played two games ago. Like, they've already dealt with the physical, defensive-minded, push you around, grab
and that's
you.
That's a bigger team, too. Not to say SDSU can't win, GP. I know that's what you're saying. Sorry to cut you off. But Tennessee, I saw them up close. Like, that is an even bigger team than SDSU, who is no slouch and absolutely brings the hammer. No doubt about it.
Yeah, like, I did think it was interesting that, you know, we've had power conference schools seeded ninth or worse make the Final Four before. But if you focus just on mid-majors that have been seeded ninth or worst and then gone on to make the Final Four, it's happened five previous times. And every time they lost in the semifinals. Every time. And by an average of 14.6 points. Trivia time!
Okay.
Can you name all five of them? Five mid-majors, history of the NCAA tournament, that have made the Final Four after being seeded ninth or worse.
I'm a man of character and integrity.
Not me.
We know.
Not really me. That's not the way
you
I would
have
describe
these
myself.
Teams in the Google Doc. I could have gotten this without it, but you got them in the Google Doc, so I can't take credit for getting this right.
Well, then let me tell the folks.
Tell
it's
the folks,
2018 right. Loyola Chicago. 11 seed.
I have access to this document and I look at it.
I was hoping I could catch you off guard. I wanted to catch you off guard. Or you could have just faked it. You could have been a man.
I'm not going to know. Not to our listeners. I refuse to fake it.
You won't fake it? I'm faking it right now.
Oh, here we go.
2018 Loyola Chicago, 11 seed, lost to Michigan by 12 in the national semifinals. Before that, 2013 Wichita State, 9 seed, lost to Louisville by 4 in the Final Four. Pretty competitive with the national champions. Yeah, 2011 VCU, 11 seed, lost to Butler by 8 in the Final Four. Shouts to Shelvin Mack. 2006, George Mason, 11 seed, lost to Florida by 15 in the Final Four. And then this is the one that really skews the numbers. 1979, Penn, 9 seed. Those bums. Yeah. Lost to Michigan State by 34 points in the Final Four. Why'd you even show up? Florida Atlantic is now the next one of these. And I submit, Florida Atlantic will be the first mid-major seeded ninth or worse to ever win a national semifinal and advance to Monday night's national championship game.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Does that mean, are we doing the pick again? Doing this? Yeah,
it's time to pick again.
Let's pick this game.
Florida Atlantic.
What's the name of this venue? Hold on. What's the name of the venue they're playing in? This is on you.
NRG Stadium.
No. Can you stick with the trope?
I got to name it. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Game two. But it's also game one, and it depends on how you factor in a Friday night Astros-White Sox game. It's getting confusing.
There you go. That's right.
It's getting confusing.
Time is linear if you need it to be, but it's just a concept.
You can make all the Google documents you want, but at some point it just gets confusing.
It is game two. It's game one on Saturday. We already picked the second game. This is game three.
Okay. This is game three. Game three. 6:09 p.m. Eastern. Florida Atlantic versus San Diego State inside.
I got it for you. You got it?
I got it.
Jose Altuve Stadium.
No. Nada, what do you got?
He's a short king.
We got to go Megan Thee Stallion Court.
Oh, Megan Thee Stallion Court.
Megan Thee Stallion. I was going to say J.J. Watt Stadium, though. It feels like he's deserving of
it. Get a bucket and a mop. She said get a bucket and a mop.
So she Megan Thee Stallion
macaroni in a pot.
J.J. Watt gets the stadium.
J.J. Watt's hurt. Always.
He's tired.
He'd probably show up at the national semifinals in a wheelchair.
Texas legend, best player in program and in franchise history.
What? Is he really?
Yeah, for sure. J.J. Watt's the best Texan ever, yes.
Is he?
But you know what? I am willing to go with the theme. There was a badass receiver from the U. Andre Johnson?
Of course.
Okay. Andre Johnson Stadium it is. Sorry, J.J.
What about Jose Altuve? He's a short king.
No. We're not.
Like Megan Thee Stallion.
He gets the baseball park.
She said, get a bucket and a mop. I said, what? A bucket and a mop. Sounds like a lot of stuff to carry.
This game.
It sounds like too much stuff to carry. How many hands do you think I got, Megan Thee Stallion? I'm taking Florida Atlantic. Right up. Ah.
We are in agreement, which means our picks are the same. Also means there will be no side mounting or surmounting.
It's tough. I'm disappointed
I'm going to take FAU to win the game, and I'm going to say we are going to get Huskies versus Owls on Monday night for the national championship, which would be one hell of a thing. Now, San Diego State fans, not saying you can't win. I think it's going to be really close. It's San Diego State that's favored. Give me FAU by a bucket. This could be
a bucket and a mop. Give me FAU by a bucket and a mop.
Unbelievable. Just walked right into it. Right into it. Bucket and a mop. Owls. Mopping their way to Monday night. Here we go.
Right. What if they adopted that as their slogan?
You know what? If Dusty May listens to this podcast before Saturday, they damn well might.
They show up. They run onto the court with a bucket and a mop to pay tribute to Megan Thee Stallion.
Oh, that did happen. It wasn't a mop. 2016, Daniel Ochefu in Houston wiping up the court at the end of the game. He didn't have himself a bucket, kind of had himself a mop. We've been there. It's all, oh gosh, why didn't I see it before? It's all connected.
Them girls were very clear. They need you to bring a bucket and a mop. Not one or the other.
Yeah.
Really, what good is one without the other when you think about it?
Okay.
You know,
there it is. We've both got UConn FAU playing Monday night. Congratulations to Miami and San Diego State.
By the way, if UConn plays Florida Atlantic, I've got the lines. I've got the let's see if you can guess the hypothetical lines for Monday night.
If it's UConn FAU, I'm going to say, first of all, I feel like you did this with me, but maybe not. I think you did it a year ago, and I think it happened like 4 days ago, which tells you all you need to know about my mind right now. I will say UConn is going to be favored over FAU by 5.
UConn minus 7 is the number. If it's Connecticut, San Diego State, what do you think it is?
5.
5.5. If it's Miami, Florida Atlantic.
FAU is better in predict. I'm going to say FAU minus 1.
Miami minus 2.5.
That's a joke.
And if it's Miami.
That's into the public. I think that's why.
And if it's Miami, San Diego State.
Although, you know what? No, I take that back, because if Miami beats UConn, that will validate Miami as a favorite in that scenario. So that's correct. Miami, San Diego State.
Uh-huh.
How much was it? FAU, 2.5?
Florida Atlantic was a 2.5-point underdog to Miami.
And I would say the Techs would be a 1.5-point dog to Miami.
Pick them. Miami, San Diego State, according to the numbers I got today, would be a pick. Yeah.
All right.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
All right.
Very good.
Before we get out of here, we should make note that the CBS Sports All-America teams and National Player of the Year, National Coach of the Year, and National Freshman of the Year published earlier on Thursday. I'll run you through the teams real quick. It was a panel of voters, and when all ballots were submitted, this is how it shook out. First team, Jalen Wilson from Kansas, Zach Edey from Purdue, Trace Jackson Davis from Indiana, Brandon Miller from Alabama, Drew Timmy from Gonzaga. Yes, it's 5 front court players. We'll get to that in a second. Second team was Marcus Sasser from Houston, Jaime Jaquez from UCLA, Marquise Noel from Kansas State, Jalen Pickett, Penn State, Tyler Colick from Marquette. Third team, Isaiah Wong, Miami, Adama Sanogo from UConn, Azulis Tabellis from Arizona, Keontae Johnson from Kansas State, Chris Murray from Iowa. That means Kansas State is the only school in the country who produced 2 CBS Sports All-Americans.
How about that? Do you have your ballot?
Yes.
Let's hear it, and then I'll give you mine.
Okay. As soon as I tweeted this earlier today, multiple people were like, it's all forwards and centers on the first team. And to that I say, you're right. You're right. Norlander can attest to this. I argued in favor of teams that are position that are sensibly that are positional sensibly. Does that make sense? I argued in favor of teams that look like an actual five-player team you could put onto a court.
Here we go.
Matt Norlander, my friend and colleague, argued against me.
Not just me.
I got outnumbered. If you want to tell the truth, I got outnumbered in Slack. So how about this? For the people out there who think it's crazy that you could have a first team with five front court players, how would you explain it to those people? Not to me. Explain it to those people.
I'm picking the five best players in the country. This team is never going to, they're never going to get in the same uniform, step out with a bucket and a mop and try and go up against another squad. So I'm just trying to pick the players that are the best, most valuable, impactful players that also were on pretty good teams this season. That's why. Oh, by the way, my first ballot had a guard on it. How you like me now?
Counter argument.
Had a guard on it. So, yeah.
Okay, they're never going to play a game or together or against somebody else. I gotcha. A college football All-America team is never going to play a game against anybody either. But you never look at those and you see, oh, they got nine quarterbacks and no receivers. It's they like, should. No, here's the quarterback. Here's the quarterback. Here's the running backs. Here's the receivers. Here's the linemen. That's your All-America team. Baseball. Imagine looking at a baseball All-America team and saying, oh, yeah, their first team is five. The first team is nine pitchers. Be like, what?
Incredible.
But no, that's eight, what we
eight,
did.
Eight pitchers and one catcher.
but that'd be hard on that catcher's knees, I think.
It'd be just incredibly taxing. Yes.
So we don't do this.
Listen.
We don't do this any other sport. Point.
I'm not all in on it. I'm ambivalent on this. I just picked the best players, and so here we are.
Okay, so to walk you through my ballot, I tried to actually pick teams that could go to get that they could play together. So my first team point guard was Tyler Cohen from Marquette. I also had Marquise Noel as a first team All American.
He's not a first team All American. Like I feel if
he's the king of New York City,
he would
City.
Not have been on your first, second, or third team if you did the voting at the end of the Big 12 tournament. Not even the regular season. I feel like you put too much influence on a guy that didn't even make the Final Four.
He's Mr. New York City.
Yeah, and he's like 1 inch shorter than you, so you are showing him favoritism because of his height.
I do love him because he's short. There is some truth to that. I can't deny that. But the whole reason we don't vote until after the Elite Eight is so you can take this kind of stuff into account.
I know. And by the way, I did. But I feel like literally Marquise Noel on the first team, you cannot tell me he had a better season overall than what Marcus Sasser did at Houston. I'll get to my ballot. He's my guard on my first team.
Tyler Kolek, Marquise Noel are my guards on my first team. Then I had Brandon Miller. And my front court players were Drew Timmy from Gonzaga and Zach Edey from Purdue. Yes, I am the reason Trace Jackson Davis was not a unanimous first team.
You're out of your mind. I was in the lift with Cobb today. And I was like, we got to get to the bottom of this. It's outrageous that someone actually didn't put Trace Jackson Davis on the first team. He is the second best player in the sport this season. You needed to kick out Tim. Anybody else? Trace Jackson Davis. So Edie is our only unanimous first team All-American. Trace Jackson Davis. This is an outrage, GP. I'm actually genuinely surprised you did this. What are you doing, man? He was clearly the second best player in the sport this season.
I have a team that makes sense from a perspective of position, and that means I only got two places for players like Trace Jackson Davis. One of them is going to be Zach Edey. You wouldn't even disagree. And the other one, I went with Drew Timmy over Trace Jackson Davis. That's not crazy.
It is. Trace Jackson Davis had the better season.
You know what's crazier? Having a first team with nothing but front court players. That's way crazier than picking Drew Timmy over Trace Jackson Davis. My second team, Jalen Pickett, Isaiah Wong, Jalen Wilson, Jaime Jaquez, and Trace Jackson Davis. That team could play together. And my third team.
The internet is humming in Indiana right now. They are coming for you.
Oh, let them come for me. Right. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Be picked to win the Big Ten and then not do it again? What are they going to do?
What's the third team?
Marcus Sasser, Kendrick Davis, Jonnell Davis, Azulis Tabellus, and Adama Sanogo. Yes, I put an owl on the third team.
You did. He's not a third. Listen, shouts to Nelly. He's not a third team All-American.
He is, according to me.
Did he make our? He didn't make our teams. Yeah.
No, no. You guys left him off.
You went rogue.
You don't like owls.
Jonnell Davis is not. And it, listen, I'm in on the Owls potentially winning this whole thing. I could have my mind changed if they wind up winning Saturday. You put a dude you did not know existed until 9 days ago on the third team.
I knew he did. I knew he existed.
I am wrong, Gary Parrish.
I knew he existed at least 2 months ago. At least, because you put Florida Atlantic in the top 25 and one, and then you got to write a little two sentence comment to go with it. So it's like Jonnell Davis finished with 18 points and 6 rebounds in Saturday's 87-82 win over North Texas, whatever. Man, that's me amazing. And Jonnell Davis go way back. What you talking about? We go way back.
Nelly. They call him Nelly. If you went way back, you'd know they call him Nelly. All right. Here's my first team. Edie, Jackson Davis, Timmy Wilson, Sasser running the point. Look out. I put Sasser on. I actually anticipated that argument from GP, so I was like, you know what? Fair. I'll meet him in the middle, and I'll bump Miller from my first team, and I'll put Sasser there. Otherwise, my second team is Miller, Jaime Jaquez Jr., Adama Sanogo, Tyler Kolek. So Tyler Kolek was the best player in the Big East this season. Sanogo has been the best player in this tournament. That's where we wait until the Elite Eight came to play. Sanogo was on my second team with Kolek, and I put Duke freshman Kyle Filipowski on my second team. You did not have Flip, correct?
I did not. I didn't realize it until right now. I did vote him second for freshman of the year behind Brandon Miller, but he did make my All-American team.
So Filipowski is on my second team. My third team, Jordan Hawkins from UConn. I think that is fair. He and Marquise Noel were my last two. Noel did make my third team along with Tabellus, Pickett, and Isaiah Wong. So my picks that didn't make our team at all, I don't think Filipowski made it. And Hawkins. Hawkins I had, and he did not make it. Those are our All-America teams. As for ballots for Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, Freshman of the Year, I'll just say them now. Zach Edey won Player of the Year. Dusty May is our National Coach of the Year. I don't know if we will be the only outlet that gives him National Coach of the Year, but obviously well-earned and deserved. You take Florida Atlantic to 35-3 to the final.
Oh, by the
four.
Way, your criticism deserved. Of me about Marquise Noel, would not have voted Dusty May National Coach of the Year 2 weeks ago.
No, that's not the same. Dusty May would have been in my top three 2 weeks ago. He moved up two spots by making the final four. Marquise Noel wouldn't have been in your top 20.
It's the king of New York.
Yeah. Dusty May is our National Coach of the Year. Brandon Miller is our Freshman of the Year. Even included with everything that went on with that disaster of a story and that outright tragedy. Okay, we're not going to relitigate again. At a certain point, like he was even if we can argue that he should have been suspended or whatever, he was the best, most productive, talented freshman in the country. So it comes with everything that's with that. I had Miller first, Filipowski two, Hood Schifino three on my freshman ballot. Coach, Dusty May, Jim Larinaga, and Jerome Tang. And then Player of the Year, Edie, Jackson Davis, Timmy. What was your ballots for those three?
Larinaga would not have been in your top five 2 weeks ago.
Correct. The man is 73 and just coached another team worse than a five or worse to a final four. He is in. He was number two.
So,
what do you want
from
me?
So I'm crazy for acknowledging Marquise Noel had an incredible NCAA tournament.
Is Marquise Noel here? Is he playing on Saturday?
He might be here. He's right over there.
Jimmy L is in the building. Okay,
I'll get him here. I'll fly Marquise Noel here.
On that sideline.
I'll fly Marquise Noel here. What if I show up tomorrow with Marquise Noel?
You put this dude on the first team. That is an all-time move. If I had done that, well, you'd agree with it in this specific instance. I can see me doing something like that, and you just roasting me. So I felt obligated. Marquise Noel, a first-team All-American over Marcus Sasser. What
Change
are we even
program.
Doing?
By the way,
it wasn't that the NCAA tournament is everything. It's just that it's that extra 5 to 10%. But you were like, screw it. This is my player of the year. Get out of the way, Zach Edey.
Like Marcus Sasser. Like I love Marcus Sasser. He didn't have this like great year. I'm not certain he should have been the AAC player of the year.
Kendrick Davis, by the way, would have been on my Noel replaced Kendrick Davis. He didn't make my third ballot.
Okay, my individual awards. This is so like I got blasted by Purdue fans a few weeks ago when I suggested after they lost in the first round that maybe, just maybe, Zach Edey won't be the national player of the year. And then I turn around and by the time we get to the end of it, I'm still voting Zach Edey. I never said he had to be the pick after the way Timmy went out. And yeah, he had to be the pick. It's just by the time we got to the end of it, he had to be the pick. So I never said I'm not voting for Zach Edey. I said I can see myself, if this breaks a certain way, not voting for Zach Edey. But it broke a different way. So Zach Edey was number one on my ballot. Drew Timmy was second on my ballot. And third was Brandon Miller. Okay. Brandon Miller was my national freshman of the year. I had Kyle Filipowski second on my ballot. Grady Dick at Kansas.
Grady Dick was fourth for me. I thought Hood Shifino on balance was, if you look at the stats, narrowly better. But it can...
And then you had these fans like, oh, it must kill GP that Brandon Miller is the national freshman of the year. Like, I voted for him. What are we talking about? Like, I'm capable of separating these things. I do not think he should have played uninterrupted. But given that he did, and he did what he did, he's the national freshman of the year and a first-team All-American. That seems undeniable to me. And then my coach of the year, number one, Dusty May. Number two, Jerome Tang. And I still had number three, Bill Self. I still think it's just wild to lose everything you lost off the last year's team and have a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. So that's the ballot, for better or worse.
Those are our awards. There you go. And by the way, Drew Timmy. So Edey was the only unanimous pick. Timmy, three straight years, first team All-American at CBS Sports. GP's been doing this since 06, so I can't speak to that. But I feel like this might be a first. Maybe Hansbrough probably did it, three first-time team. So if he's not the first, he's number two or three ever at CBS Sports to be a three-time All-American in three consecutive seasons.
I wish Marquise Noel had some more eligibility. He could maybe get there, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. This is our last podcast before we play the Final Four. As a reminder, GP is going to be on CBS Sports Network all afternoon and evening on Friday. He will be doing studio stuff from just outside Andre Johnson Stadium on Saturday. I will be on set for CBS Sports HQ. I was today. I'll be overnight. I'll be there Friday. I will be doing interviews and everything for CBS Sports HQ throughout it. We will have a reaction podcast Saturday night after the games are done. Yes, it will be late. Logistics on that still need to be figured out, but I think that's it for programming, I guess.
No, it's not. No,
boy. What's up, Nada?
Sunday. Because remember, we got
to... Oh, yeah. We actually had... This has been decided.
Oh, yeah. It has been decided.
Go on
to the detriment of... To the detriment of me. It's been decided.
To the detriment of me.
No, because I got to come to you. You're not having to come to me.
Well, you know, I don't know what
to say. It's fine. I'm looking forward to it.
You'll be indoors, climate control.
It's about to get hot down here. Have you looked at the weather?
I was Sean Millering through my shirt when I was done today. Not good.
Yeah, it's not great. So on Friday at noon Eastern, 11 Central, we have the 4-hour practice show live from Megan Thee Stallion Stadium. So we'll have a set inside, a set outside. All four teams will be there practicing for an hour. Jim Nantz will be there. It'll be fabulous. So make sure to turn that on if you're sitting around on Friday. 11 Central, noon Eastern, CBS Sports Network. Then we have another show from 5:30 Central to 6:30 Central, live from just outside the stadium. And that'll be that for Friday. On Saturday, we got pregame stuff. On Saturday night, the games, and then we'll be podcasting Saturday night after the doubleheader once the national semifinals have been decided. And then on Sunday, I want to say it's noon Central, 1 Eastern.
That is correct.
At the CBS Sports HQ set,
which I'm told is Convention Center. So this is the place where everyone is going. We are next to the big basketball court. Now, we will be elevated off the ground, so you won't be at eye level with us, but if you want to enjoy, I don't know if they're going to set up speakers so you can hear us or not. But we are doing a live podcast Sunday from the convention center to preview the title game.
Oh, I can't wait.
You sound psyched. Let's go.
No, I am psyched. I'm glad. I'll be honest. Earlier in the week, I sort of hit a man, I'm just exhausted. You know, like I'm just beat down. Now I feel good again. I'm ready to go.
That's right, baby.
Let's get out of here. Surely we got something to do.
Are you staying in? Or are we doing dinner? Are we doing dinner tonight?
I've got dinner plans already. I hate to inform you. Sorry. Tell you about it when we turn the mics off.
All right.
It's me and Marquise Noel. We're going to the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a Cheesecake Factory like right above me or below me or something.
That's correct.
So that's why I'm taking Marquise Noel to celebrate his addition on my ballot as a first team All-American. Shouts to Devin Downey. Shouts to Chester, South Carolina. Shouts to Hark. Shouts to Larnell. Thank you guys once again for listening, watching the Ion College Basketball Podcast. If you're not subscribed, go subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts, including Apple and Spotify. At Apple, leave a nice review, 5 stars, type some words. There's more of us than there are of them. Marquise Noel, definitely us, right? You would agree with that.
Definitely.
100%.
Definitely. There's a lot of us is walking around Houston right now.
Don't tell me.
I'm probably going to see more tonight, to be honest.
Can't wait. Love us. We'll talk to you again on Saturday night. Bye-bye.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.